What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All right, here this is really sick, Joe. A Georgia Democratic couple was taken into custody after the police say they attempted to solicit men online to have sex with their 2-year-old daughter. Ashley Crawley, 26, and James Tripp, 29, were arrested Wednesday in Grovetown. Police said in a news release, Crawley was charged with 2 counts of child molestation and 1 count of violating the Computer or Electronic Pornography and Child Exploitation Prevention Act of 2007. You know, that is becoming more and more common. It's these same people. Anybody that would take their children to see a drag queen, these would be the kind of people you would expect to do that. And that is pretty...
Yeah, they actually made videos of this 2-year-old for extra money, 2-year-old having sex with the father. It's so sickening. This is what this country's come to, where you're right, there's a lot of this. I look through the news, different places. There is so much child abuse, so much incest, so much... Children, that's why we have, I think, so much homosexuals out there, sodomites, we call them, because so many young boys are molested by their family members. And that's one of the first beginnings of a sodomite is sexual intercourse when they're very young by someone close to them. It's become one of the nation's great illnesses, mental, physical, spiritual illness, and evil.
Did you ever think, we'd ever see the day when so many people would vote for people that represent sodomy and child killing? I mean, it's just unbelievable.
But to me, it is. How would anybody vote for these people? Yeah.
Yep. Well, the U.S. government, Joe Obama Biden, has agreed to fund flights out of Panama for illegal migrants in exchange for Panama closing down a main corridor known as the Darien Gap. I was there. I knew. I'm very familiar with that. For migrants who were traveling by land in order to reach the U.S. and Mexico border. Look, he wants as many... Biden has set it up to where the Chinese, they bring the Chinese in, and most of those Chinese nationalists, I'm not talking about the ones that actually escaped out of China, I'm talking about the ones the Chinese sent over here.
Right, the ones they're letting out, they're sending, actually.
Yeah, the ones they're sending, they're being treated very well. They've got money, they've got escorts, they're being protected. To them, it's more like a vacation coming here. And so, here, World News exclusively reported in March, former Army Green Beret Michael Yon, we've had him on here, a war correspondent, expert on weaponized migration, revealed the secret construction of bridges and a new road deep inside a dense 66-mile jungle region called Darien Gap, a clear path between Panama and Colombia. He told World News Daily at the time, has long been envisioned, even though for decades the dangerous Darien Gap jungle region between the two discounted highways had served as a buffer against hoof and mouth disease, screw worms, and human invasion to the north.
Well, you and I, quite a while back, and I wish I could remember, we talked about how the Chinese were seen, and I think it was even Michael Yan that reported it, they were down there doing the construction, building a bridge there over one of the worst parts of that Darien Gap. We did this story quite a while ago, and that they were, this was going to be connecting these two major highways, and the Chinese were behind it in their Belt and Road Initiative, and our country's known about it for a long time, and I've seen pictures of the work they're doing, major construction going on, and yet you haven't heard anything out of our Defense Department, out of our government. And so here now Biden's using this, finally admitting it's happening, but he didn't mention the Chinese are building it, but an excuse to fly the people in. This way they get to fly in. They don't have to have the Chinese help them through the gap and all this. And we get to pay for it, and the people are good. It's going to be much easier than going through the gap to get here. So, I mean, I don't, Biden doesn't see the downside to this, does he?
He's bringing in his people. He's bringing in those people that Obama talked about, civilian army. He's bringing in complete drug gangs from Venezuela. He's bringing them in to, one, vote for Democrats, but be ready should he lose the election. And, you know, they've got to do something. They've got to stop Trump at all costs. So it'll probably be a revolutionary war. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But the AFA, the AFL, the American First League, urges election officials in all states to halt voter registration of non-citizens. An American conservative public interest organization is urging election authorities from all 50 states to stop sending voter registration forms to all non-U.S. citizens a few months before the 2024 U.S. presidential election.
Well, it's kind of late. They've already been doing it for months, right?
Yeah. Well, they're urging them to stop doing it, okay? And they wrote to chief election officers, secretaries of state, attorney generals, lieutenant governors, and governors, calling on them to verify immigration status on voter rolls. Department of Homeland Security, you know, like we can trust them, huh?
Yeah, right.
Data and Buddha to boot out any non-Americans.
Security. See, it's kind of wrong. It's our homeland insecurity. There's nothing secure about that government agency.
So far, Arizona is the only state that's already passed a law preventing this, but it applies only to state forms, not to federal forms. And, you know, they got Arizona's been caught with so much corruption with that gate, Katie Hobbs.
Yeah.
I mean, just unbelievable. In fact, I have an article on that here someplace. It was the guy that was in charge, the Rhino, I believe he was their Secretary of State. They're in. He's voting for Biden. He's promoting Biden instead of Trump. So, I mean, this. This guy is Rhino to the hilt. He's the one that went against Kerry Lake.
Yeah.
And,
well, the battle is, you know, all politics is local. You people, we've been telling them for years, get involved in your local politics. Everything starts there, and you can see the difference, you know, where the centers of power are, who controls what. And people have to learn to take back their own communities. That's where the start is. But here's something people can understand, a big, huge article, but it's not getting a lot of coverage. Prosecutorial power urged for the 2020 Zuckerbucks influence. Remember that when we talk about all this Zuckerbucks, his $400 million that really changed, a lot of people say changed the election. This money went to leftist districts where leftist election officials used it to recruit leftist voters who voted for Biden. Now, A lot of this money, about $332 million out of $400 million, went to the Center for Tech and Civic Life. It's a charity. Now, this charity is, by law, was not supposed to be engaged in partisan actions. Now, a big investigative report published at the Federalist suggests there's a way to hold people accountable. The research revealed that while this election safety during COVID may have been the reason for this Center for Tech and Civic Life getting this money, it wasn't the purpose of the CTCL, the Center for Tech and Civic Life. And these strings that were attached to these grants went to jurisdictions in, you know, a political manner. What happened was it was sent to places, and the people in power, the money was sent to mostly red state legal officials and lawmakers, and they're the ones who poured out the money. So here's an example of what happened. You go to an area where the money went to a big city, all right? So they took and they went out, and there were the points where so many voters, like the Democrats in a district, 67% of the people were Democrat, 33% Republican. So that breaks down. If you get another large group of voters, what you have is almost 2-for-1 Biden votes versus Trump, right? So they would go to areas like this and expand by registering people, even if they registered a few Republicans, it didn't matter because the 67-to-33 point spread, every time you got 100,000 voters, you got so many more Democrat voters than Republicans, more than double. And this is what they were doing, going around finding these specific areas, putting the Zuckerbucks to use. And as they registered these voters in these areas, huge amounts of registered voters for Biden. And it says now, hey, this was a game that's being played. And since the election, 28 states have taken action to limit or ban interference through private donations for elections. And if people want to know more, they can go to the, Federalist. Go to the Federalist, look at this report. It's about the Zuckerbucks influence, and they say there's a way they can do a lot of court challenging and go after these people and put a stop to it, because they're trying to do the same thing now with grant money. The CTCL is still working to increase Democrats' advantage in the Electoral College vote system. And you notice one of the things, states with no chance of supporting Trump, they didn't supply any money there. Or a state that was totally a Trump state, no CTCL funding. So we can see this entire thing was nothing but a big con game, and they are trying to do the same thing this year, Pastor Ernie.
I know that.
Republicans better wake up and realize how to go fight this stuff and challenge them in court.
Yeah, I know. This is what, you know, we've been, how long have we been saying this? And we're not the only ones saying it now, too. Like I said, there's more and more. There's a whole host now of people out there for a fair and free election. They're watching, and I know there's a big call out for to come in, poll watchers, to be inside the polls.
Well, the big thing too is to check, is any money trying to be brought into your district or your city through the Center for Tech and Civic Life? It's a charity, and they should not be engaged in partisan politics. That's not their mission, it's not their function. But Zucker gave this money, and they went out and used it in such a way that it became very political, very partisan politic, and it's illegal for them to do so. And so if you see them anywhere, folks, in your city, your county, the Center for Tech and Civic Life, It's Zuckerbucks all over again. They're trying to cheat and rob you of your vote.
All righty. You know what I think I'm going to do, Joe? I think I'm going to open the phone lines and take some calls from the folks out there.
All right. So
the phone lines are now open, and so we're going to take some calls. And Style, if you feel like commenting, just jump right in there. I don't know where you've been.
I've just been listening and learning.
Oh, well, that's right. You're a smart guy. All righty, so yeah.
Well, he knows who to listen to, right?
Right. You know, I tell you who not to listen to, those people that tell you to buy an electric vehicle. They're having some real problems all around the country with these chargers. Do you know that the chargers have a downtime of 60-something percent? They're down. They're not working.
They're down a great deal, and often they don't charge as quickly as they say. And, of course, where I live in a rural area like where I am, there isn't a charger within driving distance of where I live. Well, there's one maybe an hour and 45 minutes, or almost 2 hours away.
And so, anyhow, yeah, it's they're having some real problems. Not only that, but a lot of the people, in fact, the majority of people that have bought electric cars say they will not buy another one. They're going back to the old standby, the gasoline powered engines, and so there you go. But I guess there's a big difference in them. What is it, Tesla? That those Teslas must be. I mean, they seem to be selling pretty good. They must be superior to the others. What do you think?
Well, even then, I think a lot of the Tesla is not doing as well as it was. So even they're not, I don't think, meeting expectations. I think their stock is down and everything else. So,
all right.
I think it's going to be a boondoggle. It was too soon with not enough. You have to have a support system. It's kind of like you can't have a artillery battery and stick it out in the middle of a battlefield without a supply train, without some way to get fuel, ammunition, shells, you know, and everything to the battery. It's no good out there by itself, right?
All right, well, we'll ask Steve in Cleveland because he knows about everything where it comes to Tesla. Hey, Steve.
Well, they're electric vehicles, and usually when people buy something, EVs, man, for the guy, a mechanic, call them, they're microwaves. They have no value because someone told me something's only worth what someone's going to pay for it. So if you're selling an EV with a battery problem, they're not cheap. $10,000 to $12,000 replaces the batteries. And that's the life of the car. And I honestly have to say, I didn't know that EVs had tire problems, but you can get 10,000 miles out of tires off of EV or China's new $10,000 vehicle going to be made in Mexico, EV, of course. I think either the tire industry is going to make a lot of money or people financing cars are going to learn how to have how to roast marshmallows because it takes a lot of water to put out an electric fire.
Yeah, I understand when those things get up, like, you know, around here often we'll have high water. You know, if we get a couple, 2 or 3 inches of rain, but it seems like everything floods, and sometimes you get caught where you have to take a chance and you're going through water maybe up over the bumpers. And so what happens is I understand those things catch on fire when that happens.
Well, a good thing to come, it sounds like, is when they have floods down south, they won't be able to bring the flooded cars up, the EVs, and sell them up north because you can see that they ended up using them for boats. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, flood, I think.
Oh, well.
You know what they say, if you're up a creek without a paddle or something like that, that's you know, a little intensified, how it's said. But my
you're up a creek without a battery.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then again, with 6 batteries, it got a lot of amps in them, and if they get in the water, I wouldn't want to find out.
No.
I don't think they're probably made out of fiberglass, but you know, who knows?
Well, they're like you said, they're very heavy. and the weight is bad for highways. It's bad for the parking garages. You know, the tiered parking garages weren't designed for all the extra weight. What is it, 1,000 pounds more or 1,200 pounds more per vehicle compared to a like model with a gasoline engine? So, I mean, there's all kinds of problems that are coming with this.
Well, when China holds all our debt, or most of our debt, and pretty much dependent on the batteries, I think they, I keep telling my grandson that fossil fuel is science, which is man says that, but I think we used to call them when we were in school natural resources.
Right.
And if they're natural resources, God had to give us enough oil and gas to use, because if the earth can reproduce oil and stuff like that, if I understand my science from school, I probably got a C. That's because I was pretty bad at dissecting cows. I was in eighth grade. Sorry if anybody's weak stomach. But they're natural resources. And when you look at a sky, there's man didn't make anything. I mean, the only thing, Rush used to say, the only thing government can create is pain.
And yeah.
Exactly.
Man has to get all its natural resources from human people that used to be alive, which were beings. Now they're just corpses. And they just made a robot with, I believe it was human skin or something like that, or the, oh, what is sarcopenia? You know, when they do the injections, they take the, like what Mike Tyson did, you know, you inject the blood, you take it out from one area and put it into another one, steroids or something in that area, I forgot what it was. But they have to have something to take something from. They can't make anything except commotion. And but my one question was, I think it was either from Roosevelt to FDR and Truman, I believe was vice president, and then Truman to Eisenhower. I don't know, in that era, there was a small time, but I don't think there was a VP that for a short time. But number three is Steve Bannon used to call him now Polly Pocket, our new Speaker of the House. I don't know whose Communist Party he came from, but he's third in line for vice president. But if you said Kamala Harris can't, she's the only one, just be candidate, so they can use the $200 million of campaign money, the donor money that they donors wish they could take back. If she becomes the candidate, who becomes the VP?
Well, that's what they're talking about, bringing in. This has been a lot of the, the chatter out there, this Newsom. Newsom's been seen at the White House a lot, and they're looking in there. Here's what she's complaining about. She's complaining about she wants Joe to run again. She figures Joe's not going to make it that much longer, and then they can 25th Amendment Joe, and she'll be the president. But she doesn't want here. In other words, she's worried about in August when they have the convention, Joe stays, and instead of going with her, he goes with somebody new, like what Trump is going to be going with a new VP, okay? And so,
would that be Michelle Maidel Obama? Because, as Rush used to say, I only use him pastor during the day because no one could be on the radio for 50 years with no sponsors and commercials. And I mean, that's virtually impossible. And you could just walk around all day long and say, I've done something that nobody can even come close. But Michelle Maidel Obama would, I'll step in because I have to change this country, and we can't let Trump become president. And I didn't want to, but I'll do it for the good of the country. And then the first
I don't think, I'm thinking even the Democrats might be smart enough to know that the people are very, very tired with political correctness. And they're tired of, you know, you have to vote for her because she's black, you have to vote for her. Because, you know, I would be surprised that they might not come out and say she's a transy. So that's another reason you should vote for her, okay? Because within the Democratic Party, that would be to them, that would
be perfect. Yeah. Yeah. Open all the doors up, the revolving doors and everything. The LGBTQ, RSTUVWXYZ and everything. I mean, it would be absolutely perfect. And then the happy guy himself, Mr. First Man Obama, who lives down the street with a fence around his house, and his wife who left her $300,000 job. And Rush used to say that whatever a Democrat says, they'll do the opposite. And however many they say, double it. But my one question is in September of 2020, I just saw this story not too long ago. He was talking about how Biden had dementia. Why doesn't anybody during the day in radio, I'm excluding you guys because you're in your own, your own class. If people don't listen to you, Pastor, it's their fault. You guys are just, you two are phenomenal. You're a fantastic tag team. I won't pour you with compliments because I know you don't like them. So. But what I'm trying to say is, Rush has all the answers, and God left him here long enough, and he voted early so he could vote because he knew there was something wrong with him. But he left all the answers there, and 30 years ago, they're talking about the same thing, just different people. Because I got it on cassette tape. He wrote a book called See, I Told You So. And I'll send you a couple information things where you can see him when he was on TV, certain places, and when Donald Trump was 34 years old, he had to be 35 to run for president, when Oprah's asking him, why are you going to be running for president? 40 years he's been asked he's going to run for president. Here we are all these years later, and Clintons are still ticking. And you guys are still on the air. But I do have to say one thing. Larry Nichols, I heard him the last time he was on your show. He was in a coma for 6 months, and it was about September 20th, or September of 2020, I believe it was. And he sounded great, and he passed away a week later. But I read his book, and it's like it was yesterday. And Clintons know what's going on, and I know you guys, you can only say so much, but if people knew what was going on behind the scenes, I don't want to know. I'm just going to sit here. Yeah, Smile's going to be here. We just hope we're here. But you guys are, and Steve Bannon's in prison for only 4 months, and Alex Jones is, he needs to kind of watch how he says things. He says too much, but you all bring the guests together. We don't have to go looking for them. And when you bring them together, her name is, it's WFFA.win, W-I-N. Whoever she was on Alex Jones today, and she was fantastic. She drove the border talking about the FEMA and all the things. It just everything from top to bottom, and she know about. And she let it out in about 30 minutes. It's scary.
Yeah, I know. We've been, you know, the interesting
you
thing
know,
is.
I know, you know.
Now the fake news media is beginning more and more ruffled by the alternative media. They're making accusations, telling us that we're inventing the news. Everything that they're doing, they're really getting upset with us. They don't try to ignore us anymore. They're really going after. They're very angry. I can see more and more of them because what we're doing is we're shining the light on them. We're bringing the truth, the things that their masters tell them to make sure that people don't find out about this or don't find out about this. And because of us, they're finding out. And they're being told you're not doing your job. But anyhow, got to move
on. World War II.
All righty. Very good. Well, thanks, Steve. We're coming up to a break. We'll be back right after this.
God, I sure do wish you'd bless America again. Well, like you did before, we decided that we could do it without you. But really, God, I understand. Your blessings you gave us, we took for granted. We asked you to leave, and now look at the mess we're in. So, God, I invite you back to bless America again.
God bless America again.
You know, God's Word says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if His people, which are called by His name, shall humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways, then He will hear us, forgive our sin, and heal our land. So let that be our prayer, so God can bless America again.
God bless America again. You see all the trouble.
God bless America. That was Todd Allen. He was the male voice there. Anyhow, God bless America again. He will, Joey. He will if what?
If my people who are called by my name will repent of their sin and turn from their wicked ways.
We've been preaching that for 50 years, haven't we?
You've been doing it a long, long, long time.
Yep, and we're going to continue until the Lord takes us out. Can we honestly say that we have given it our best, that we have not ever compromised along the way?
Never compromised. We tell it the way it is, the way God told us to tell it.
All righty. We have Gene next. Gene, you're in the air.
Hi, hey, Gene. I'm from Del Mar.
Okay.
Okay, I've heard everything. You hear me good?
Yeah, we can hear you good. Sure. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm getting a little confusion in my life. There's 8 billion people in the world. And last when I did the place I wasn't supposed to go to, the Google search. And I realized that God is providing for all this stuff. And what I'm finding out is that the leadership from the king, the earlier guy you're talking about, Miriam, whatever his name was, he disrupted. So God has put everybody in a position. And the good fight that we're doing is that my feel is that everybody is submitting over to a change. But I think our Democratic brothers are going to rig it again. I've seen, this is my first 4th of July where I've seen that my neighborhood has hanged more American flags than I've ever seen in my life. And I'm just going, I think it's God's plan, and I'm going to go right into Revelation. And that's where I think we're headed, and I think our good efforts and our fight, I think we have to be more on the focus of saving souls and introducing everybody to what the gift is from his son, Jesus Christ. And I'm really, really disturbed because I know who we're dealing with, and this is a big-time devil operation.
Oh, absolutely. Again, just remember, God gives us three main missions. Mission one, and that is called the Great Commission. That's first and foremost. That's the Great Commission.
Amen.
When you've been in the military, you know the priority of missions, right? And so what happens in mission two, from Genesis to Revelation, God's Word, the Bible, teaches you that resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. The one thing that God asks more than anything else in the Bible is obedience. And resistance to tyranny is always obedience to God. Failure to resist tyranny is always disobedience to God. And then number three, we are to stand fast, hold our ground, hold to the traditions of the apostles, and not back up. And so those are the three missions that God gives us, and that's what we have to do.
And that was a blessing, what you just said. And the outcome is the outcome, and I'm just saying we're dealing with some crazy people, man. And we have to do what we have to do. We got to fight. Keep up the good fight, like you're saying. So I'm on your side, and I appreciate the work that all you guys do. And I love you guys.
And well, thank you so much.
We're stuck there. Okay, that's what we got to do.
Yep. Have a blessed 4th of July. And
you too, Father, Pastor.
Alrighty.
Well, remember too that this is a perfect time to lay up crowns and treasures in heaven. When you run to the battle, you fight the fight, and you do what God tells you. That's how you lay up crowns and treasures in heaven. This is an opportunity to witness, testify. I mean, there's so many things going on. It's a perfect time to be a Christian.
Amen. This is where you place up those crowns. You're absolutely right. Never been a better time to take to the field. All righty, let's go to, we have, well, guess who's here?
I couldn't guess.
It's Clifford.
Yeah, I'm going to ask a question about Corinthians.
Really?
Before
what a surprise, Cliff.
There's a nice song. It's called It's Your Love Live by Hillsong Worship. It's two women, a duet, a very nice voice. Try that song. Also, Peter McCullough has a podcast, The McCullough Report. It's Peter McCullough. And
I've listened to him quite a bit.
Yeah, he's you can trust him.
We had him on here. They're actually. I've actually seen him on, like, Fox News and some of. There was one of the actually mainstream media actually had him on there, and that was really surprising because they wanted to take away his license.
In the meantime, he had the most peer-reviewed articles of any cardiologist, number-wise, I think, in the country. But one of the things you've been talking about is these prosperity preachers, and I'm looking at a section of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 27 to 33, and verse 28 is saying about it's more talk about tongues, the interpretation of tongues in the churches at that time, but it's saying, talking about, talk to yourself and to God privately, which to me indicates, and then at verse 33, it's talking about God not being the author of confusion. And it's interesting that Paul uses the word God, too, in this epistle, but I was thinking this is indicating that you're not supposed to put even a preacher or a church situation on too much on a pedestal. You know, you still got to do your own private meditation and
search the scriptures to see if the preacher is holding to the gospel once delivered to the saints.
Yeah. But what do you think of that verse in particular, 14:28 in 1 Corinthians?
14:28, but if there be...
14:28, but if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. If there's no one to interpret, don't speak in tongues unless there's somebody there who can interpret what you're saying and preach it to the people. That's very clear. If you don't have an interpreter to explain it in the language of the church body, keep your mouth shut and pray. Do it to God and silence.
Right. Here's the thing. These languages, if you go back to Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, they were all known dialects. There were 15 different regions, 15 different known. When you're talking about speaking in tongues, you're not talking about gobbledygook. I've debated people on this before. In every case, when someone is speaking in tongues, it's a known dialect, a known language. And so, in other words, if I'm going to start speaking in Russian, there should be somebody there that can interpret what I'm saying in Russian, right?
Right.
And so, but people don't understand that. What they do now, and here's the interesting thing is, the only people that are instructed specifically not to speak in tongues are women. And I've preached in a number of these Pentecostal churches there with a pro-life message. And if there's 10 people speaking in tongues, 8 of them are going to be women. Okay?
Women, right.
In fact, here's what he's telling you about. If you go to verse 34, this is speaking, starting specifically with tongues, but it's speaking in the church teaching too. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in a church. Well, he's talking about speaking in tongues, because see here, but then he's also teaching, okay? This is why he's saying, let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another, what that setteth by. But let me go back to verse 23 here, when he's talking about, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place and speak with tongues, and there come in those that are not unlearned or unbelievers, they will not say that you are all mad. If you go, I've been into some of these where that's what it sounds like.
They were all mad. I've seen the same thing. I asked somebody if they knew what was being said, and even the people that were there at the service of the church, no, I don't know what this person said. I don't know what that person said. Six or seven people all talking babble. Not one person had any idea what was going on, what anybody said. And it looked like they were all crazy. Exactly. I've seen it.
God is not the author of confusion, is it?
Confusion.
Yeah. Okay. But it seems to be saying, too, that the default mode, whether it's a man or a woman, is you speak to God directly on your own. This is almost like, that's one of the messages, too, that Paul is saying. You know, don't put these situations above that one-on-one dialogue.
Maybe. Well, you know, he tells you pretty clearly that ended corporately. Those sign gifts ended corporately, you know, with the completion of the 66 books of the canon. Mm-hmm. And so they were given, that was given for a sign, especially the Jews required a sign. In other words, that's what the speaking in tongues was about. But we don't need that today, do we?
Right, right. So just like we don't need prosperity preachers, right?
See, there's a difference. Now, see, that doesn't mean that won't ever happen. There might be a time in the church where that actually happens. there will be a legitimate situation where God will allow that. But corporately, the way that they're doing it today is like in most, a lot of these Pentecostal churches, everybody's up there, speaking and cackling and speaking in tongues. Mm-hmm. And that's just not the way that ended, when we had the completed book of the canon.
So you think when he says be silent in the church, which could have been specific to the Corinthians maybe, because they,
He says let your women.
For the woman, but that applies to speaking in tongues on that part.
Well, speaking in tongues, but it also applies to teaching men. If you read over in 1 Timothy chapter 6, the Apostle Paul refers to two, women are not to be teaching. That's where he says, if you have any questions, if you learn anything, wait to get home and ask your husband.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Because, and this is one of the problems you have today, women are not, the Bible has not changed at all. God's word hasn't. So they say, well, look, if we don't like what we read, let's say we agree with most of the Bible, we'll just write our own version so we can agree with it, okay? And that's where you got all these New Age perversions of Scripture. Mm-hmm. But the word of God is very clear. Women are not to pastor churches, they're not to teach men in the church. And they're not to be speaking in tongues in the church, okay? I didn't write that. It's right here, okay? Right here, right. In the Word of God.
Right. But I do think that this 1 verse 28 is saying that people are responsible for doing their own direct private communication. That's also a responsibility. You can't pass that off.
Right.
But
if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church. And let him speak to himself and God. All right, I got to go very quickly. Thanks. Have a happy 4th. We have one more caller.
We have Mark in Cleveland.
Mark in Cleveland. Mark, you're the last caller for tonight. Go ahead. You're in the air.
All right. I squeezed in there. Hey, you got a good evening, Pastor Ernie. On that topic everybody was discussing about, when God mentions there's going to be many false prophets. You know what I realized? I myself called for ministry, and I see some of these pastors in some of these churches. They're killing the prophets. Not physically, but you know what I'm saying. It's spoken, and that's a sad situation. I think they're going to, because they put themselves higher than others, and they're not really concerned about anybody else. When it comes to the ministry, and that's really sad, that's what's happening. And I'll feel sorry for them because it's going to be too late. It won't be national teeth, We're not here to, take pride in ourselves and like this is our mission, just our own, individual mission. If we're called to win souls, we're called to serve the Lord. We're all the bride. We're all certain parts. But see, that's why, I'm really, in a way disgusted with some of these churches. They put on a good front. It's a nice church, a good music, a beautiful building, but it's lacking stuff.
It's not a church. The real church is what? The Bible said we're lively
the
stone.
The people, yes.
Yeah.
The cornerstone of Jesus Christ, so the living stones build a living church that worships a living, risen Lord. That's the church.
Right. Amen.
Anything else is not.
What I see, since these churches act that way, that's why we're not standing up on these issues, that we should be defending the Word of God. And they're not united. They're just, glorified little areas. They cover, and that's all they're interested in,
I get you. Mark, we're out of time, but thanks. Have a blessed 4th of July.
One more thing real quick. I appreciate you, Pastor Ernie.
Okay, I missed him.
Oops, yeah.
It looks like he got cut off. How much time do I have? You got 4 minutes. 4 minutes, Joe.
All right.
One of my favorite hymns, and it just kind of fits what the caller was saying, it's called Rescue the Perishing. And the song is talking about we're to rescue the perishing, care for those that are dying without being saved, snatch them in pity from sin in the grave, weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. And if you go through this marvelous hymn, one of the last lines, rescue the perishing, duty demands it, strength for thy labor, the Lord will provide, back to the narrow way, patiently win them, tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. As you go through all four verses, this is, like Pastor Ernie, you were saying in the missions, the first is the Great Commission, because we want everybody to be saved, and that's the famous John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We've been told very simply that except a man is born again, he is not going to see the kingdom of God. And we know the problem is sin. We are all sinners, and we fall very, very short. So we all need what? Redemption for our sins. We have to repent of our sins. And we know that from the time that Jesus started to preach, to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. First word in his ministry was, repent, repent of your sins. The sinners were to be called to repentance. And if we do, we can have what? Redemption, we're told. And redemption is, well, Colossians 1:13 and 14, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. We are forgiven of our sins because of what? The shed blood of Jesus is the only way our sins are forgiven, because he did a substitutionary death, died on the cross, took our place, shed his blood, that we could have redemption, that we could be forgiven. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ephesians tells us, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So what do we have to do? We have to confess that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior. We have to call upon the Father, and we have to confess that we're a sinner.
1 minute, Joe.
That we need a Savior, that our sins place Jesus on the cross. And we have to repent from the heart. God will forgive us. And then we can do the wonderful thing, go direct, we can talk to Jesus, ask him to come into our heart, to become the Lord of our life, all of our life, without reservation, hesitation, that we want to give ourselves to him completely. And then he will give us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, our down payment on everlasting life. We become a born-again believer through that spiritual baptism. We become a son or daughter of the living God, a child of the kingdom, and we then are a joint heir with Jesus in everlasting life, the greatest decision that can ever be made. God,
absolutely. That's out, we never, never, ever could, or never, ever would do anything that means as much to any of us as that.
Right.
And so, well, we're at that time where we get to every night at this time, where we say good night.
Night, folks.
We say God bless.
God bless you.
And then we say, and always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks. Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.